This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
15 minutes away from the official start of the legal tampering period in the National Football League. It's Kevin Sheehan Show right here on the Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. And Noah Willingham, Denton Day, sitting in for Kevin. He's back with you on a Wednesday. Right now, we go out to the guest hotline where we find one of the absolute best talking all things NFL draft, NFL draft analyst for The Athletic. Our pal Bruce Feldman joins us right now. Bruce, happy free agency, my friend.
Oh, good morning, guys. Good to be on with you.
Yes, indeed. So, wanted to ask you about a couple of different positions of need in the draft for the Commanders. Washington now in a position where obviously defensive end and edge rush help is at the top of their list. You don't want to leave free agency without starting answers at that position. I always say you treat free agency like the draft doesn't exist. If Washington isn't able to, you know, strike on a marquee name in free agency, who are a couple of guys at the edge rusher spot at pick number 29 where you think, if he's there, Washington's got to run in the cart?
Yeah, I think the challenge there is you're really at the end of the first round. Guys who I could see, you know, perhaps Mike Green from Marshall could fall. He has some character concerns for some off-field question marks about him from his days in high school and at UVA before he went to Marshall. I mean, he's a very talented player, but I think that's where it's on NFL teams. They're going to have to really do their due diligence. Another guy who's super athletic and was productive at Tennessee, James Pierce Jr. I mean, ran at 6'5", ran 4.47. He has got, I want to say, like some, you know, Brian Burns kind of capabilities, but I think there's a little bit of maturity and character concerns about him too. And so those are guys I could see possibly being there once you get past that. I don't know where, you know, Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College is not as long and he's not as explosive an athlete, but he's
the production's out of the charts.
The production is really good, you know, mature kid. I think he's a playmaker. I think he could be there. You start getting, you know, getting into that range, I think those are the guys who I think will be interesting to see where they end up. You got a couple of Ohio State edge guys, JT Tuimoloau, Jack Sawyer, really productive players, have played a lot bigger edge guys. They don't run like the guys I just mentioned, but I think, you know, they're really solid players. I think they're probably more early second round guys than late first. You know, Landon Jackson's a bigger edge guy. He's 6'5 plus, 275, and he jumped out of the combine. I mean, he was a guy who started his career at LSU. I think he's a really good football player. I'm actually surprised people looked at him as a mid to late second round guy. I don't think he'll sneak in the first round, but again, he's one of those where athletically he was really, really impressive in Indy, and he's got a big frame. I mean, he could carry 280 pounds and still move really well. I think those are, you know, that's kind of the discussion point of what you have, you know, in that range. Because I don't think the Georgia guys Michael Williams they're not going to fall all the way down. You'd have to move up to get them.
Bruce, how far is the gap between some of the players you just mentioned and Abdul Carter?
You know, Abdul Carter, I think, is the surest thing. I mean, he's not a huge edge guy. He's in the 255 range. He is a really dynamic athlete. Obviously, he didn't work out in Indy. I think, you know, he's a little bigger than Jalen Walker. I think Jalen Walker, I don't think there's a huge gap between the two, to be honest. Wow. I think that Jalen Walker was surrounded by, you know, Penn State had a really good D-line. Georgia had even more guys around there, so you're just not playing. We've seen a bunch of these guys go to the Eagles, no less, and they end up, you know, flourishing in the NFL, who were really impressive, highly thought of guys at Georgia, but they were just so deep there. I just don't think they were piling up the stats some of these other guys did. But I don't think there's a massive gap between Abdul Carter and Jalen Walker.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. At 29, like, Washington is just going to be in an interesting spot. Do you agree? I saw Daniel Jeremiah tweet this out maybe about a month ago, right before the combine, that in this class, from picks 20 to 60, you could be getting a similar type player in terms of skill. Do you feel that way about it? And if that's the case, would you be an advocate for trading back from 29, depending on who's there, obviously?
Yeah, obviously, I agree with what DJ said. I think if you have, to me, there's a lot of good players who may end up in the top of the third round. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, like, unlike last year where, like, the receiver crop was, there was a bunch of guys in there. I don't know, like, Tedarone McMillan, I like, has like, elite ball skills, and he's over 6'4". He's like a former volleyball player. But, you know, he's not going to run. He didn't run in the combine. I heard he was not going to run any, you know, in anything. Wow. And, you know, maybe he's a 4.65 guy. I don't know. Like, Puka Nacua, I'm not saying he's the exact same type of player, but it's not like Puka tested great either. This is a bigger guy. And you know, kind of where I'm going with that is I just think that, you know, this is kind of a different draft. There's good tight ends. I think there's good running backs. I actually think it's a pretty good O-line draft. But it's not a good, you know, there's not a ton of star power. The quarterbacks are not great. I think there's Cam Ward, and then I think, you know, there's Shador a little further down, maybe, you know, maybe Jackson Dart. But because of it, I just think when you look at what's the top of the draft, we're talking about, you know, Travis Hunter, who's kind of a unicorn in how he played from CU. You got Abdul Carter, you got the Georgia guys. I think Mason Graham's a really, really good football player. And then you got, like, a bunch of O-linemen who I think are good, but some of the better ones are like, is he a tackle? Is he a guard?
Yeah.
You know, because it just, it's kind of a different kind of draft, just because there's a cluster of guys. And you start out by talking about the edge guys. You have three guys, I think, two guys with some legit character concerns going in. You got a player like Shamar Stewart, who's an elite athlete and tester. But again, very little production, 4.5 sacks in 3 years. I mean, he was a five-star guy out of high school who you see why he would be a five-star the way he tested at the combine. But, you know, he might be a top 10 pick. And that, I think, you know, I mean, that's a big roll of the dice there.
Bruce, how do you feel about Will Johnson? It felt like after 2023, he was one of the best corners in college football. And then because of the injuries at Michigan this year, it feels like he's now falling in all the mock drafts I'm looking at.
I think there's a little bit of concern of how fast is he. Remember, this was the MVP of the national title game when Michigan won at the end of the 2023 season. He's got good size. The guys I know who've coached him think he is quarterback smart. Like, they think he's just, he gets football. He's one of the smartest corners you're going to come across. You know, he's physical. I think the question is, would he run 4.52? Now, the people I talk to at Michigan say he's a much better athlete than a lot of these people are trying to say he is. I think he's a really good football player. I don't think he's Travis Hunter. Like, he's in a lot of ways, he's opposite of Travis. Travis Hunter is super twitchy and not stiff at all. He's probably, like, you know, about as flexible and instinctive and as you get as a cornerback with amazing ball skills. Will Johnson has good ball skills, but I don't think Will Johnson, there is a little bit of concern, you know, is he stiff? you know, could he end up actually as a safety down the road? It wouldn't shock me. I mean, he's big enough. He's got some physicality. I think, again, there's guys like this where I think they're really good football players, and then you look back and it's like, okay, how healthy was he this year? Was that some of the reason why the tape this year wasn't as good as what some people were hoping for? Again, it's kind of a weird cornerback draft because you have another guy in Savon Revel, you know, from East Carolina. Most people haven't seen him. He's one of my freaks list guys. And then he hurt his knee and missed most of last year. I think if he was healthy, he would be a guy who might be a top 20 pick in this draft. And so, yeah, you know, you have two high-level corners who missed a lot of last year, were not healthy. And I think that, you know, that's let the buyer beware. But I think sometimes some of the, you know, some of the draft chatter may end up being wrong on these guys, and they may end up going higher than they're probably, we're talking ourselves out of them when maybe NFL teams aren't.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Bruce, how late do you think Washington can get a plug-and-play guy along the offensive line? Talking about either a tackle or guard. And one guy in particular that I've been kind of crushing on just because he's just a war daddy, I describe him as, is Tate Ratledge from Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely looks the part with the mullet and everything. I mean, Georgia has a couple of guys like that in the O-line who, you know, another guy was like, you know, one of our freakless guys who was state champion wrestler. I don't know if he lost in 3 years. I mean, I think those guys, you know, Ratledge is a tall guard. I mean, he's every bit of, you know, 6'6", 320. And, you know, there's some, I could see some Landon Dickerson, you know, now, you know, he started out, he was at Alabama, and then he was with the Eagles, where I think he's just a big, tall, nasty guy. I could see him having a really, really good career. I think he's one of those guys, like you said, could plug in. I don't think there's anything fancy about him. But remember, look what he went up against every day at Georgia, you know, from the time he got there. I think that bodes well. I don't know if he is my guess is he's a late second round guy because there's, you know, nothing flashy. But I think, you know, I could see him doing well. I would be surprised if he does not have a really good NFL career just because of what he saw every day. You know, you have another guy, Jared Wilson, who, you know, everybody knew, you know, everybody kind of found out about him because he ran in the 4.8s as an offensive lineman, but, a Georgia center who I think, you know, he played behind some really good players and he played around some really good players. I could see him, you know, going a little earlier than probably people were expecting. I could see both guys maybe ended up in the second round.
Bruce, thankfully in this market, we don't have to worry about quarterback this year after Jaden Daniels. First time in our lifetime we haven't had that issue. But, you know, I'm still intrigued by the position, and I'm a little bit of a degenerate. So if I were to set the over-under line at 2.5, how many quarterbacks go in the first round? Are you going over-under that number?
Yeah, I would think there will be a third. I think it'll be Dart. I think somebody will move up to kind of get him. Here's what I know people really like about him. He's incredibly tough. And they think he's a good leader. He's a decent athlete, more than decent. And it, you know, I thought he looked pretty good at the combine. I don't think he is a top, you know, like I saw somewhere, you know, in the last couple of days, somebody was like, yeah, somebody's going to trade up to try to take him at like 8. And that surprised me when I heard, or somewhere in the top, you know, top 12. Like, if he was in last year's draft, I think he goes ahead of Spencer Rattler, but I don't think he goes anywhere, you know, near the other guys. But I think he and Tyler Shuck are the next best options. I wouldn't be surprised if some teams had either one of those guys above Shador on their draft boards. I don't, you know, Shador is smart and he's pretty accurate and he's definitely a tough kid, but he's limited athletically. He's nowhere near as athletic as those other two guys. He had a worse offensive line than both of them, but you know, I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be a little more surprised if Shuck, somebody jumped up to get him because he's going to be 26 years old. And also he has, He has a significant injury history. He just could not stay healthy when he was at Texas Tech before he went to Louisville. But he's got good arm talent, and he's big, and he can run. And, you know, it's just like, what are your needs, and how desperate are you, depending on how the rest of this, you know, quarterback free agent market shakes out.
It's going to be interesting. Bruce, I'll let you go on this, my friend. I got six prospects here for you. We'll do a little hypothetical Harry. If they're on the board at 29 for Washington, based on what you know about their needs and the background info you've been able to gather on these guys, if these six are there, who's the pick? Jihad Campbell, the linebacker out of Bama. Siobhan Revelle, the corner. Josh Simmons, the tackle. Josh Connolly, the tackle. And then Donovan Ezeraku and James Pierce. If you're Washington, and all of those guys are sitting there for you at 29.
Jihad Campbell, I think he's the best player of the group. He is a really explosive athlete. He's not Micah Parsons, but I think he's in that spirit where he could be probably a pro bowler at two different spots. I think he could definitely as an off-ball linebacker, but also as an edge guy from, you know, I remember talking at midseason to Kane Womack, who's the defense coordinator at Alabama, and he was like, he's the one guy we have here who was just like, when Alabama always has like two or three of them on defense, they didn't really have that last year. He was about as close as they come, and he kept getting better and better and better. I think they were hoping he might stay another year, but he just, you know, he performed so well that he just kept blowing up. He could, you know, there's no concerns about him. I'm not saying the other guys have red flags, but you either have guys coming off injuries, guys with character concerns. I just don't see that guy, Campbell, being there as late as when Washington picks.
Yeah, I agree with you. Super freak. I think he would fit perfectly in this Dan Quinn defense. And knowing what DQ did with Micah, he would be a guy that
I'm sure, would you think
about trading up for him even? I mean, is he that?
I would, but look, I mean, piece? I feel like your fan base has worn it so for so long of like, it just like the franchise that couldn't get out of its own way. And then all of a sudden now in the last like 2 years, you know, start with Terry McLaurin ending up there. And then you just kind of start rolling through like, you know, Daniels turned out to be like a slam dunk. Then you get Debo. You know, I love what they did last year. Like Sainer still, I thought, is a great football player, and they got, you know, they're doing a lot. You know, it's like all of a sudden now it's flipped. So, you know, if somehow they get Campbell, I mean, I don't know how high you'd move. My guess is you'd probably have to move up 10 spots to get him, maybe even more than that. I don't think he gets out of the top 20. If he does, a bunch of people, I think, have screwed up. But, you know, we'll see. Crazy stuff happens on draft day.
We'll see. Bruce, appreciate you as always, man. Great work. Love following your stuff. Appreciate you giving us some time.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
That is Bruce Feldman, one of the absolute best, talking all things NFL draft. Check out his work at theathletic.com. Final hour of power coming up here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Chris Russell joins you at 1 o'clock. When we come back, though, it's the official start of the legal tampering period in the National Football League. Breaking news coming your way all hour here on the Team 980.